The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Hi, how are you, Maya? Badger Gag, Daniel Goji, and DL the Babe, then Misha Brenda McDavia, and Sha, a Highland Radio. It's a very interspecial DL debate. We are live from Clonus here after this Ulster quarter final, where Donegal have come out on top of Monaghan with just a couple of points to spare and an absolutely thrilling end to end game. We're going to hear shortly from Brendan Kilcoyne and Ciarán O'Kane. Brendan, of course, was on us on commentary today, and Ciarán O'Kane of the Irish News. But first of all, I'm glad to say Desi Moan has stayed behind, one of my old friends from the playing days. Friends and foes. We're friends now, you know. Desi, we can have a wee laugh and a chat about things from the past. But like on today, Desi, you must have been very proud as a Monaghan man of Monaghan's performance today. It was gutsy, it had a lot about it, and you know, thrilling opportunities to even equalise right up until the end.
Yeah, I suppose coming into this match or today, I suppose all eyes were on Donegal winning Ulster, going for All-Irelands, and probably Monaghan not really giving that much hope. I'm not saying that much hope, but Monaghan had a real good league campaign, and I knew the Monaghan players coming in had plenty of confidence in them. And the first half, I thought probably Donegal probably displayed that probably Division 1, their wee bit more maturity in their play and their attacking play, and they got up a good lead in that first half. But then in the second half, Monaghan made a few changes. Gavin Phillips came, Jack McCarron came in and kind of set the things. We started getting on two-pointers and really started closing down Donegal in around that middle third where we were struggling kind of in the first half. But overall, we could have took the game into overtime, and we didn't. We had that shot at the end, and then that wee bit of thing on the sideline there with the ball in play when the hooter went, and that's probably something that's going to have to be looked into.
Yeah, a lot of talking, but yeah, we need an inspection quick, says you. Listen, you know, a lot of talking points in the game. Before we get into them, just, you know, the Monaghan team, you know, we're looking, obviously went down last year, Desi, after 10 years in the top flight. You know, obviously, you know, Gabriel Brannigan comes in there. You were telling me about Michael Holm, of course, Tyrone coach in there, and of course Andy Moore, and we've seen that there looks like a real energy has been breathed back. You know, of course, cut the great Conor McManus retiring, but what we've seen of Monaghan throughout the league, you know, they're certainly in a serious upward trajectory. Brilliant second half against Roscommon, outscored them 115-7, and you really thought today this was going to come down to the melting pot. But were you surprised by that first half of this game in terms of maybe some Monaghan misses and the way maybe Donegal controlled it?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Monaghan going, as you said, they went down 10 years in Division 1, went down into Division 2, and the most important thing was to get back out of Division 2. I didn't believe in this mentality, or a year or two in Division 2 would be brilliant for Monaghan. No way. I wanted Monaghan back up Division 2, competing with the big teams, and Donegal is one of the big teams that you want to be competing with, and they showed there today that they can. But just in that first half, maybe we were going for two-pointers against that breeze. I know people were looking in, down look at the town side, the flags, they were flying, and one of them were shooting in, maybe going for maybe a wee bit too earlier for two-pointers. I'd rather see them just tipping over with their one-pointers and just keep within that touching distance before half-time. Now in the second half, Monaghan did that. They were going for, yes, they got their two-pointers, but they're in the second half, their interplay was a lot better with their forward movement, with the 1-2 pass, no touch football, and they're getting them more easier scores. I just didn't think that they did that enough. Now he's saying again, it was brilliant defensive display by Donegal, I have to say, because they weren't giving away free kicks. They did not want Rory Beggan coming up kicking them two-pointers, and I think they're willing to run a risk of by shooting for them two-pointers against that breeze instead of having maybe doing a foul and Rory Beggan stepping up and getting them two-pointers, which he didn't today. I think he got a 45 okay today, but he didn't get any of his two-pointers, what he usually does, gets 6 points a game, and he didn't do that today. And probably hats off to Donegal, the Marshall lad arc, you could say, really well. If they were going to foul, I think they were happy enough to foul inside the arc and not outside the arc with Rory Beggan come up, and hats off to Donegal for thinking of that there.
Yeah, see, in that first half, Donegal seemed to get on top of the Monaghan kick out as well in that period where they took control. You know, you seen Gabriel Bannigan then, you know, hauling off two players. You know, that showed a real ruthless streak from him. Did you think when he took off McCarville and Garland, were you surprised at that? Or did you think Monaghan needed it at that point?
Yeah, well, Mihal and Gary probably two similar type of players, and you always need that type of player of Gallenfeld coming in, you know, really, really pushing and shoving and really trying to lower the breaking ball down. And that's what Gavin Phillips is very good at, doing that, because Donegal have Hugh McFadden and he does the same. He does the real Trojan work, the horse work, and we needed that type of player coming in. And when Gavin came in, Gary got a wee bit more free. He was up catching ball and Gavin McPhillip was breaking ball, and then Mullen started getting on a wee bit more breaking ball. I think that really improved Mullen and then in their attacking display, because when Donegal had Mullen penned in, it's very hard to get the ball. You'd probably be hearing players and run for the ball, the crowd saying run for the ball, go short, but it's very hard to go short for the ball these days, because if you go short, you want to make sure you're wrapping up, because you can get closed down very quick. But good switch by the Monaghan manager, and then just introducing Jack McCarron to settle things down and just getting on the scoreboard there again, because the game can get away from you if you're not taking over by the scoreboard. And we started doing that when them two boys were introduced.
Yeah, and did you think, you know, you're thinking about that second half comeback of Monaghan? People forget, you know, we come to Clonus that much, that this is your home place, you know, and you got the crowd really got involved, didn't they? You know, yeah. they wanted to get behind them in the first half and they couldn't because Donegal were controlling that, but you really seen the crowd getting involved and pushing Monaghan on there, and it really looked like Monaghan had stuck Donegal and they would have a counter-attack game for a while in that second half. Donegal weren't in their defence, Monaghan were breaking, and it was real an open game which was suiting Monaghan.
Yeah, but that's it. That's what Donegal and Monaghan bring. They bring that atmosphere. They bring that crowd. There's probably 20,000 or so people there today, and they bring that. They bring that. The players, both Donegal and Monaghan players, when they hear the crowd roar and push on, that's when the really game gets going. And I thought that happened in the second half when Monaghan started kick it over them 2 pounders from Mihal Banning and Desi Ward. But again, Donegal, they were quick to reply from the Sean Patton's kickouts. I know they were working set plays there. Michael Morphy got hit with them a few times. He got on them, and Oisin Gallen, the introduction of Oisin Gallen caused Mona a couple of problems as well, as long as Jamie Brennan. They got on the scoreboard. As soon as Mona scored, they were back down the pitch getting on the scoreboard there also. So Donegal were quick to reply if Monaghan did get on top at times.
Yeah, and just a word, you know, Jamie Brennan come on, kicked a vital 2 points for Donegal. But at the other end of the pitch, Stephen Mooney, I've watched him play underage. He's been some star for Monaghan coming through. He looked like someone, his first point, two steps inside, outside the boot. And even second point, he tipped over like he was at a training match. You know, he looks like a serious player. Should he have been in earlier? He looks like a real danger man.
Well, he's a natural forward, so he is. And that's what these new rules are for. It's for likes of them players are to get on the ball and show their talent, and he's in abundance of it, and he scored a great score when he come on for Andrew Woods. Andrew Woods worked very hard. You'd love to see him start, but then you need a player coming off the bench that has that impact, and Stephen Mooney has that, where boys are starting to get tired of on the opposite. Donegal players starting to get a wee bit tired, and having Mooney coming on and just being a live wire, and really worked. I think that switch worked well for Mullen. Andrew Woods had worked hard all day, but then just having Mooney coming in, he has been a talent through minors and under 20s, and it's good to see him here in St Chinnard Quark taking the Donegal team on at times, and it's a natural, and that's what you want to see with these juniors. Yeah.
And Desi, just last year then, what's the mindset now, you know, for Monaghan? It's been a brilliant season so far. Donegal have put many people's favourites. They won the All-Ireland. You've come here, people, Donegal, big, big favourites. You know, you've had a game where you very easily could equalise. Anything could happen in the extra time. Is the mindset of Monaghan now going into the All-Ireland series? We've got the break now. There's loads of positives still to go into this. There's no one you should fear.
No, that's it. I definitely think they should take a positive from this match there today. I thought they played really well, but I even think they can play better. I don't think maybe the forwards got playing together as you usually do, the likes of Bannigan, O'Hanlon, McInnesby, the interlinking. Yes, at times they did it, but I seen more of them in the previous matches. I suppose coming up and you're playing that higher standard of football against Donegal, it just showed there are times Donegal are well equipped, Brandon McCall there are times, Marshall O'Hanlon well, so simple things like that there. I think Mullen's going to take positive out of it. I think they can play a lot better. They played in patches. I don't think they played, I think they maybe played for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, but I don't think they made a good give a good maybe 20 minutes or 25 minutes of football. I think we went about maybe 15, 16, 17 minutes without scoring, and that's not the Monaghan team I know. I think they're going to take great heart from it, and I think they're going to have a lot to say. I did say coming into the match, whatever happens today, I think the two teams are going to be towards the end of this championship, would be at Donegal or Monaghan, and as Donegal has won there today, they march on into the semi-final there now. Yes, it would have been nice for Monaghan to get into the Ulster final, get another Ulster title, but it's a long way to go to play your football and get back into Croke Park.
Yes indeed. Desi Moan, thanks for hanging back there and giving us the words as ever. Great to see you. We're going to hear from Colin McFadden now, selective at Donegal. Thank you very much, Desi. Great to talk as ever there. Desi Moan there, former Monaghan. Great. Colin put on them wee cans there for us. Thanks for coming up, sir. There you are, there's a wee mic for you as well. You can talk in there. Colin, great to chat to you. Desi Moan was just saying, the last thing he said to me there was, Monaghan only played in fits and starts in this game. There's big periods where Donegal dominated the scoreboard. You know, we kept begging at play, and Monaghan had quite a few wides in the game, particularly in that first half period as well. So this was a game, I think, when we analysed it, Donegal went down as big favourites, and when none of us really thought there was that much in it, and that's what it came down to, the tightest of margins again. Colin?
Yeah, well, I suppose Donegal, I suppose, were fancy going into the game, but we knew, like, Monaghan were playing with a lot of confidence coming out of Division 2 and putting up big scores, and that momentum you take. Like, we were in the same boat last year playing Division 2, and we got over the line against Armagh in the final, and you know, Monaghan the same way this year, playing with confidence and put up big scores, and we knew what they were going to bring to the table, like. And you said there, Desi said about the Monaghan played in fits and starts, I suppose Donegal in a way did the same, but I think that's kind of the nature of this, the new rules. It kind of brings that to a game where teams are on top, and they tag on quite a few scores in a short period of time, and then maybe the other team dominate kickouts for a spell, and they get the scores, like. And Monaghan did that in the second half. They, you know, within a short, about 6 points up at half time, and they were back. I think we were back to two, was it, or one even maybe at some stages. But that's just the danger of the 2-pointers, and some of those 2-pointers they did kick in the second half were it was crazy how good the scores they were. In fairness to them, like, and they were in the far wing, and then Bannigan's one here this side, out the outside of the boot, was a serious score now.
There's some massive scores in the game, particularly in that first half. Mogan coming up from distance, and Kieran Thompson as well, you know, and we were so efficient, you know, at half time, only two wides on the board, and we kicked some fabulous points, you know, and that was the killer for Monaghan. They were maybe missing down the other end, and the efficiency of our guys coming on the loop, breaking the lines and getting in around them. But Monaghan brought that real one for one energy, you know. They were tackling us all over the pitch, which maybe didn't happen in the Derry game, and really you had to move the ball quick, particularly when we were being squeezed there. Otherwise there was a turnover coming.
That's like Monaghan would have played throughout the league, and they pushed up man to man, and you know they're very good at they made it difficult for us probably trying to get up the field. But as you said, kind of, you forget about the good scores we kicked in the first half whenever
there's the hooder away. That's not for us,
right? Show's over. But you forget about the scores, like Thompson and Patter kicked over in that far wing in the first half, albeit there were 1-pointers, like, but they were very efficient, I suppose.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times where in established attack where we were broke down, and Monaghan up and punished us, and that's probably the areas I need to look at now going into the Monaghan game, or into the Down game next Sunday.
Yeah, like, his part in this was huge again. Some of the scores that he kicked at vital times, no more than one over his shoulder, you know, having him back in the game, you know, when it's came in, I thought it was great to have him there, but his role was vital in this game as well, and just showing, you know, the strength of our squad in terms of what we had and what we had to bring in.
Exactly. Noel Michael, you know, it was great to have him to call upon the day, and you know, to be able to start him, and obviously he kicked scores, and as you said, they were at vital times, particularly in the second half when Monaghan were coming back at us, and he stepped through and he tapped one over, and then the one over the shoulder too was a big score, and it was a time it was badly needed. But now it's, you know, the games come thick and fast, and you need a strong panel. And you know, a couple of boys come in the day that didn't feature the last day, and you know, all the boys coming off the bench had a good as well, and you know, that's key, them fresh legs coming in, and you need that. And you're going to need that down the line too, or you need a strong.
Yeah, talking about the panel, when Murphy was playing back in his pomp, do we play him full forward, do we play him midfield? Now the question mark is, do we start Murphy, do we not? Now, a lot of people thought he was going to be kept as an impact man. He started against Derry, played a full game, did it again today. What's the mindset around that? You know, I would have thought, in my mind, I would have thought he'd come in as an impact man today, but he started and he played the whole game. Is his leadership, Colin, sometimes he gets the ball, and it's not that he's doing a lot with it, but he can't get it off him. He just holds up possession for us. Is it that we need him in those moments all the time, you know, rather than him coming in to be the lift that he was in a couple of games, Alex of Armagh?
I suppose in the league games there, he did come on and give us that lift, but, you know, obviously he played, as you say, the full game the last day and today, and I suppose you take it game by game and you see how it's going and how it's progressing, and, you know, today he looked fresh in the last 10 minutes as he did at the start of the game, and you're always looking to see. You know, we're caught in, I think it was the Dublin game where we used all our subs and with nobody to call upon at the end, and somebody was cramping, so you have to be watching and keeping an eye out for all those kind of things. But, you know, just the day kind of was important to have that steady presence throughout the field, and they probably came a wee bit deeper there in the last 5 minutes and picked up ball like. But it's just good that he's, you know, it's a credit to the condition he's got himself into that he's able to last the full 70 minutes, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to do that throughout the championship for us.
Yeah, and Finbar Roddy, what a performance again, couple of scores and the different players around the pitch, but I mean, he was everywhere, you know, blocking down the block and begging here when he went for a two-pointer, and he kicked one with his left and that, you know, I could see him completely gassed out at times. Talk about someone that just absolutely goes all the way, actually, you know, or just talking to Ashton in the comedy, you know, the way Finbar plays, you know, how he just completely empties the tank, and he's got everything as a player, and first year in, it's remarkable to see somebody with that type of composure.
He's a powerful young fella now, and he's, you know, he's a great attitude, and, you know, that carries through from what he does in the training ground. He's always working hard, and he gives 100% every single night he turns up, and, you know, today I thought he was very good. Now, in fairness to him, he was a credit, like, and the energy and the work rate he brings, you know, off the ball and then on the ball too, he's an exceptional player, and he chipped in a point there at the end again. You know, it was close in, but it was still, there was a lot of Monaghan boys around him, and he had a good composure to settle and get onto his left and chip it over. And, you know, I think that's maybe 5 or 6 games in a row now that he's chipped into a point, and it's a good habit that he's in, and hopefully again he can keep contributing. You know, if we have cornerbacks stepping up and kicking a score every game, it takes the pressure off the front guys as well, like Patter stepped up today and kicked 4 points, and you know, the one on the second half too again, but like Michael Langens, it came at a point where you needed a steady figure to step up and keep the scoreboard ticking over, and, you know, Patter's able to do that from the full back line as well. So you need these boys stepping in with scores for sure.
Jimmy Brennan come on, of course, and got 2 points. He had 2 opportunities, 2 points, and that was the difference when you look at it at the end of the game, if you want to play it out that way. Just looking ahead now to Down next week, did you see much of the game yesterday, and what have you made of them in terms of a semi-final challenge?
Well, as I've seen all the game, we're watching on the TV, but you know, I suppose Down, look back at it, they probably only played for a short period in the first half and for the last 10 minutes in the second half, and you know, when you look at that from the outside, they're probably extremely efficient when they were on the ball. They probably struggled to get hands on the ball at different stages of the game, but, you know, they were really dangerous in the first half when they dominated that spell in the middle just before they got the black card in the first half, and, you know, they're cutting through Fermanagh. There were 3 and 4 runners off the ball, and they're 3 on goal, and 2 of them had the crossbar went over, and the keeper pulled off a couple of saves, and so they're a dangerous side, like, and we know they're, you know, the Down teams are always good down the years, and they played out here and the pitch in front of us here last year in the semi final against Armagh, and they give them the full of it, and I think Armagh ran a set play in the end, ran the clock down in the last 3 minutes and kicked the score to 1 by a point. So we know it's going to be another tough outing next Sunday, as you'd expect in the semi final of an Ulster Championship. So all attention will turn to that now, and we'll just build to next Sunday. It's a quick turnaround, but, you know, it's nice to have that opportunity to try and get into an Ulster final now next Sunday.
Yeah, it's brilliant, Colin. Listen, I want to say thank you on behalf of all Donegal people. Keep up the good work. You need to get rested up as well. When you walk on Marble Hill there, maybe.
Sounds good.
Clear the head.
A few Easter eggs, maybe.
If there's any left.
That'll do. Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you so much. Colin McFadden there, top man, of course. Part of Jim McGuinness's backroom team and All-Ireland champ from 2012. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and after the break, I'm going to come back to you. We're going to speak with the one and only Cathal O'Kane and Brendan Kilcoyne. who's waiting patiently here to give us a whole lowdown on this big championship victory for Donegal. Speak to you after this. Yes, folks, welcome back to Clonus here, the special edition of the DL Debate. I'm delighted to say now Brendan Kilcoyne has been waiting with me. Cathair O'Kane has joined me too. Cathair, how is the form, lad?
Oh, great.
Great. You're a happy man, you're a happy man. Brendan, just looking at this game here, you've been sitting here waiting. Fair play to you, thank you very much. We all knew this was going to be tough. Why was it that Donegal were such favourites going into this game when, when you looked at it, Monaghan, the battling qualities, everything about their season, did people just think Donegal were going to outpower Monaghan in some way? Because that's definitely not what we've seen in this entire match. They did at points.
No, certainly not, no. But the reality is that because of the Jim McGuinness effect, Donegal have been talked up as All-Ireland contenders, and that's the reality of it, Brendan. And rightly so, after some of their performance throughout the league and throughout last year's championship, they're right up there with the top contenders. Monaghan, I suppose, had a lot in their favour coming into the game, because when you're put down like that and you're not given a chance by all the so-called knowledgeable guys, you're coming in and you feel that you in good shape, you had a great league campaign, and they were able to throw everything at it. Now, they were slow coming out of the box, so they were in the first half, and you know, the fact that Donegal were able to go in 6 points up in the first half at half time, it meant that Monaghan were chasing the game a bit in the second half, and Donegal could live on scraps, which turned out what it was, kind of thing. And I thought, particularly, you know, after Monaghan hit 3 2-pointers in the first 10 minutes of the second half, massive scores, so that it, and I thought Sean Patton was really smart then, got a couple of short kickouts away. It allowed Donegal to arrest control of the game and maybe just build up the field, and then Donegal kicked 4 of the next 5 scores. And I thought that was a crucial period in the game. It brought the lead had gone down to 2 points, and they brought it back out to 5 points again, so that it. But listen, Monaghan, we're coming up here for years at underage level, senior level. You're playing Monaghan, you know you're going to get grit, you know you're going to get fight, and you're going to get that till the final whistle. They're not bet till they're bet, kind of thing. And nothing surprised you about what happened out there today. Monaghan were always going to come with something big in the second half, and that they did.
Yeah, and Cathair, that Donegal like control. They like to control games, and they're good at it. Monaghan don't allow you to control games, so they try not to. They try and tackle you everywhere. I mean, it was very impressive, their array of Monaghan squeeze on Donegal in their 1v1 tackling. Like, it wasn't like they weren't just dropping in. They were engaging Donegal everywhere, and that was very unsettling at times for Donegal.
It was probably a wee bit unusual in terms of what we've seen from the top teams, who tend to sit in pretty deep and defend on the goal side in the main at the minute. Monaghan with that. Now, within that, I felt there was opportunity for Donegal, and this is the one thing that would concern me about them going forward. When you look at that game in Parky Cove last night, and Kerry, like, the third goal is Kerry's 20th goal of the year, and Donegal are not scoring goals, and when it comes to it, those are massive scores that are pushing games in your direction. And I felt that the way that Monaghan played opened itself to creating goal chances, and Donegal didn't even do that. Roy Began didn't make a save, and they're not structured. Donegal attacking ways aren't structured in a way that is creating goal chances. Now, most days when you're kicking what they're kicking, you'll be grand. You know, when you're kicking 21, 22, 23, 24 points, you're going to win 95-97% of your games.
Yeah.
But down the line at that real top end, can they win it without starting to just look like they're creating goals a wee bit better? It's a flaw. Like, I think they're there. Like, they're, I didn't think they were brilliant today. I think you get days like that where you still win. You're not particularly brilliant, but you still win. But it's the one thing that jumps out at me a wee bit.
Was it kind of flip-flop between the two halves then, Brendan, do you think, in terms of, you said already, Donegal went down 14-8 up. All the good plays seemed to be from Donegal in the attacking way. You know, they looked like they had 2 points on them, and I agree, obviously, with Cathair, goals was an issue. There was a half chance, I think it might have been, was it Langan went through, and, you know, we weren't just creating. Langan certainly had that one in the second half when it was 16-11, and Monaghan went up and got the 2-pointer. That was a huge swing in the game. But would you think, just when you, Cathair mentions, I mean, Kerry shooting the lights out for goals, and even though a goal is just a point more than your 2-pointer, it certainly feels like more in the game when you get a goal. It still feels like a massive part of the game. And is it something you think that, although to me, as Cathair was saying, could that be the difference when you get into where you want to go this year if you're not hitting the back of it?
Yeah, I agree with Cathair and you know, highlighting on the fact that there were a couple of half chances. I remember Shane O'Donnell cut through brilliantly at one stage. That's in the right. Second half, but there was no real outstanding goal chance. And I'm sure will concern kind of Jim and the Donegal management team to try and get create. Be more creative in that area of the field, because you would think there should be more space opened up, because Donegal aren't huge exponents. Like Monaghan kick 5 2-pointers a day, Donegal kick 2, so they're not huge exponents of the kicking these outside scores either. So they aren't. You look at Cork last night and the amount of 2-pointers that they kicked, and you know, in reality that was a 21-16 in old money, 21-16, so a 5-point win. But that shows you the value of the 2-pointers, and whether that's whether you agree with the 2-pointer or not, they are a huge influence on the game. And then moving on to 3, not being able to create them, you're leaving yourself with an uphill battle. And you know, we see how Kerry are able to create them, you know, another the likes of Galway you'd expect will be able to create them going down the line, kind of thing. But it is something they can look at, but there's a lot of other good moving parts within this Donegal machine that are working, and working really, really well, like that first half performance and the economy of their shot selection, etc., where they only kicked one wide. And you know, you go up, you looked up the other side of the field and you were seeing how many wides Monaghan were having and how many wasted opportunities that they created. And you know, so one of them balances off against the other, you know. But you know, of course you want to be hitting the onion bag and raising the green flag more.
Is it maybe the way the Donegal full forward line is, you know, with McBurdy and Murphy in there, you know, it comes from players off the shoulder. It's coming from players kind of breaking the line further out the pitch, which is why throughout the league Donegal maybe didn't have that many 2-pointers as well, because they're able to come and break the lines. They're inside the scoring zone, the points on, because of the 3v3 you're going to have more defenders in there with their forwards, but there isn't maybe that direct ball going in that you have the old fashioned kind of corner forward or full forward going by their man and bang at the back of the net. So everything, the good play is coming from just outside the area, which means Donegal, the majority of their scores is always going to be 1-pointers.
There, and I think what you're seeing across the board is it's a very definite decision among every team. You can draw lines between what different teams are doing and the structure that they're attacking with. The Galway, what was a third of their shots in the league were for 2 points, you know, like, and Tyrone kicked 24 points, was against Cavan last week. They only had one shot from play from outside the arc. Different teams are going different ways about it, and Tyrone are a team who are not going for them. They're looking to work the shot inside. It's still a higher percentage shot inside. If you kick 25 points from inside, you're giving yourself some chance.
Yeah.
You know, and we saw that. You know, I went right back to the 2014 game between Donegal and Dublin. In the first 25 minutes, Dublin had 9 points and were kicking from everywhere, and it looked like, you know, they're going to keep on doing that. Breaks, and like, nothing really has changed about that. That is a lower percentage shot, and teams that go after the 2-pointers are going to miss more of them. And I feel that it's very much Donegal have weighed it up, and Kerry are the same. Kerry had Clifford kicked one last night. They went their last 3 league games, not only did they not score a 2-pointer, they only had 2 definite shots. They had a third, I'm not even sure it was a shot, in 3 games. So they're not looking for them. It's not about not being able to kick them, it is your strategy. And Donegal's, for me, ties in with Kerry and Tyrone, where they're both at. They are very much looking to get inside and kick 25, 26 points. Mm. But Donegal are missing the goals.
You would imagine, because people were Tyrone, just on about Tyrone, was up at the game last week saying, oh, they're not kicking 2-pointers. Well, they didn't need to. And I said, plus, they will need to against Armagh. Like, you know, next week's semi-final, both teams are going to form a real rigid defensive shape, and you're going to have to be able to kick 2-pointers.
Maybe. I don't know that I see Tyrone changing much. It's something that has been their trend kind of through the league. I think they're trying to work. And also, Tyrone have a very, very dangerous inside forward line that could create 1v1s and beat men and take men on and score goals as well. Now, we haven't seen it from them yet. And Dara Canavan being missing last week was a factor in that they beat Cavan pretty comfortably, but they didn't ever blow them away. And I feel that Dara being in there makes a massive difference as well. So I don't know that I see Tyrone going, no, you know, really chasing 2-pointers next week. Armagh, you know, hemmed and hawed over Ethan Rafferty and Blaine Hughes, and have gone with Ethan Rafferty and still have more, you know, maybe more interest in them. But with Rian O'Neill missing, Oisin O'Neill only coming off the bench, he kicked 3 up in Corrigan, but he only came off the bench, and they don't seem to have an enormous focus on them either. And I think both teams are more worried about penetrating inside and trying to manufacture goals. Maybe not happening at the minute, but I think that's their strategy.
Yeah, and Bruno, just on, Kieran's mentioned there, you know, the strength of the Donegal, the depth. We were talking about McBurdy and O'Boyle. I know Derry kicked a couple of points and Patrick won, but, you know, compared with their Derry performance, you know, it wasn't there. Is that the way it is now? You're going to have some players are just going to step up, and today it was more Mogan, you know, it was more Thompson, you know, it was more Langan that stepped in as well. Or is it just the marking of Monaghan just was a lot tighter than Derry's?
Yeah, well, Monaghan did mark the them threats very, very well, you know, in the game. So, but I think it's a good thing to have within your squad that you can have players that can stand up and kick them scores. And Donegal have so many threats from different areas. Like Ryan McHugh didn't get on the score sheet today. He's a regular contributor to the score sheet. Patrick got 1 point. Michael got his 2-pointer and I think one other score from play. So, you know, the big threats, like Kieran Thompson, 5 points in the first half are phenomenal, like absolutely beauties of scores, each and every one of them. Shane O'Donnell didn't contribute to the scoreboard, I don't think, today. Yep. But had it still, you couldn't say that Shane didn't play well, carried the ball brilliantly from deep. And I think that's, you know, within the squad, to be able to have so many threats from so many different areas. Kieran Moore didn't score today, scored a couple the last day. But then you've Jamie Brennan coming off the bench and kicking two really good scores. And Jamie looks like a lad that's playing with an awful lot of confidence, that he's confidence back in his game again, and he's not afraid to go at teams. He got two half chances today and pinged the two of them over the bar. So a lot of positives for this out of Donegal. And you know, as a management team, you care who's getting the scores. The scores are coming across the field, and I think they'll be happy with that.
Yeah, they will be happy. Donegal will breathe a sigh of relief. We're going to take a wee break shortly, and we're going to hear more from Cahir and Brendan after as we get into this match, and we'll look ahead, of course, the semi-finals coming next week, and anything else that crossed the great mind of Cahir O'Kane over the course of this weekend. I'm sure he's got a load, he's got an encyclopedia in there ready to go.
Thanks, Brendan. Don't know what else to say.
I'll put you on the spot then. Folks, we'll be back after this break. Okay, chat you then. Yes, here we go, boys. Welcome back to the DL Debate. We are live in Clonus here. Thank you, Kieran. We were having a wee chat off mic there. The birds is going around Clonus now. It's nice and quiet, not the drama that we had just a short time ago where Donegal qualified for the Ulster semi-final, beating Monaghan by a couple of points to spare and what was a frenetic Ulster Championship game. And Cahir, is this the Monaghan team we always know? There's something about Monaghan football. They're plucky, they get stuck in, they're a championship team that you can never take for granted. And that's certainly what Donegal definitely didn't do that today, but we've seen the best of Monaghan, and they'll look to many aspects of their game. You know, Rory Began kicking 7 points in their last game, never really got forward. Donegal didn't really allow him. He had an attempt at a 2-pointer late on. Jack McCarron come on pretty early in the game. Both of them had huge impacts on the last match. So Donegal nullified a lot of the threats that they had. You know, Garland was taken off early, as was McCarville as well. So, you know, Donegal in many ways today stopped a lot of the good things that Monaghan had, but yet, you know, they kept coming back, they kept coming after them.
They did. You said, is it the same or is it a similar Monaghan team? Like, what we always see from Monaghan is, you know, I know Jim has always made a big play on identity and the Donegalness of the thing. It's no different from Monaghan. Monaghan are seriously proud bunch, and like, you had Desi Moan sitting here. Like, Desi's one of about how many fellas in the last 20 years who just played in a Monaghan jersey until he had absolutely nothing left. You know, they just play and they play and they play, and they're so like, you're always going to get something here. They probably, their profile has changed a lot, and it's they're small in a lot of areas. They're fast. It was where I actually expected Donegal to see this game out with more comfort than they did. I thought Donegal's profile was perfectly matched to Monaghan's profile, and that eventually when the arm wrestle ended, Donegal would win it out and pull away. Didn't just transpire that way. They didn't get away from them. So look, there was things that Monaghan would look at that would feel that they did well. They shut some of Donegal's threats down as well. For a while, Stephen O'Hanlon troubled Pádraig Mógán going one way, but Pádraig Mógán really hurt Stephen O'Hanlon going the other way. So like, there's battles there that were not exactly 50-50, but they were not exactly 100-0 either.
Yep.
So I would have expected Donegal to win this with a wee bit more comfort, that's to be honest.
Yeah. Well, Oisin has been out getting some bits and pieces of those players that were in the battle later on after five. You can hear from Kieran Thompson and Patter Mogan, but he also caught up with Donegal manager Jim McGuinness in the assisted press and media area, and this is what Jim had to say.
So Jim, you've come through this quarter final. Listen, Monaghan really put it up to you there, particularly in the second half. What's your thoughts after the game?
I think our thoughts probably after the game are the same as before the game. You know, we knew we were going away from home. We knew it was the Ulster Championship, and we were playing a team very high in confidence in terms of their league performances, and also in terms of their capacity to score two pointers. I think maybe half of their scores came from that. That was very similar in the league as well. They were really well tuned in terms of that tactic in the game, so we knew that Monaghan were going to come hard at us. I think every time they did, we responded really well. That was the most pleasing thing from our own point of view, and some really big performances there as well. I think Sean got them away at crucial moments as well for us. I think Finbar had a massive game there, cornerback for a young lad, you know, Kieran Thompson in the middle, you know, Michael Langan, a lot of them maybe kicked 4 or 5 points there. But listen, we're moving on in the competition, and that's all that matters. And we kind of knew this is the game that we were going to be facing. You know, you don't have an average of about 125, 126 in the league and then not bring that confidence to the table. And they'll be very formidable as well for the rest of the championship. Yeah.
Were you worried there in the closing stages of the second half because they're really putting the screw on you and the pressure on you?
Not really, no. Listen, you trust the processes at that stage. You know that pocket on the left hand side as they were attacking down there, that's where they were trying to get all their shooters. You know, McCarthy, Bannigan, McCarron on that area. We tried to players onto the pitch that had fresh legs to kind of deal with that area, and once we did, we kind of shored it up. But then they were switching the ball very quickly to the weaker side, and boys were trying to line up longer ones with the outside of the boot. So you're managing all that and dealing with all that, the boys know they're in a game there. Yeah. You know, it was a very physically challenging game, but as I say, they dealt with it really well, and we're delighted to get through.
It's a sort of game of standees. The championship goes on.
Well, they're all tough games. Yeah. Like Derry was a really tough game as well, you know, and this was a tough game as well, and the next one will be exactly the same. And you know, you just become sanitised to that. The older you get, like, that's the way it's going to be. You know, Down came here last year against Armagh, pinned them as well to their collars, took them to the last couple of minutes of the game. So we're expecting the same from Down in the next round. From our own point of view, we're just happy that we were able to keep the scoreboard ticking at crucial times, never allow them to get that moment where they got level or ahead of us, and then see the game out.
Yeah. Okay. What about injuries today? Obviously, Ryan picked up one just before the break that looked a lot worse than what it was, and appeared for the second half. And I know that he was talking about it coming on there that he wanted to get it checked. Is it hampering him much? Is it?
No. Well, it's basically a gash in his shin that was very deep. Right. So they had to stitch it at halftime and then tape it up, and then he was able. It wasn't restrict him in terms of running, but he's going to be his very sore boy tomorrow morning.
Yeah. War wounds.
Yes, yeah. War wounds. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And what's the plan now for the next few days? Because obviously Down comes quickly in 7 days' time.
Yeah, recovery will be the number one thing now, you know, and going away and looking at the performance, see where we can improve, try and develop a game plan now over the next number of days that the boys will get their head around in the middle of the week and just go from there. Yeah.
Jim, Sean Patton's kickouts in the second half that were so exceptional in relieving pressure, not letting Monaghan build any momentum. What is it in his sort of mentality that allows him to be so present in those moments?
I think it's obviously Sean is the most important part of that puzzle, but I think it's the opportunities and the options as well that present themselves, you know, and that's on the team, and it's important that the team understand that, put themselves in good positions where they know that they can present for the ball, and then it's up to him then to be able to scan the pitch and understand that and make a really good decision, you know. So delighted with that part of it. Also delighted, you know, that I know Rory Begg and got a number of them away in the second half, but I felt in terms of the quality that he brings to the table, we restricted him really well on their kick out, and we also restricted him well when he stepped in to be the attacking option, you know. So both kick outs today will go away, and we'll be happy and we'll be content with that job, you know. And I suppose in terms of moving forward and in terms of big games, once you get a goal scoring opportunity, you know, we need to put it away, and we had two very, very good ones that probably we should have buried, you know. But listen, we live to fight another day, and that's the most important thing, and we'll build on that over the course of the week.
Keelan dropped out in the middle of the week. Keelan McGonigal, what's the issue? Was it a follow-on from Derry or something?
It was a follow-on from Derry. He nipped his calf against Derry. So it'll be 3 weeks next week, so we'll see how that goes during the week.
And Mark Curran's in a boot there, Grand Pass?
Mark Curran is in a boot. He, again, against Derry, he has a ligament issue there, and he's going to be longer.
Yeah, that's it. Jim McGuinness here, manager, and rightly so, saying tough games, and that's the way it is in Ulster, Brendan. That's the way it normally is. What about the next game? What about Down? You know, you look at them yesterday, I've seen parts of the game, McGuinness, Murdoch, Cavern. You know, they've got some qualities, but they struggled and they stammered at times against Fermanagh. You know, there wasn't much in it. Of course, Down getting relegated, Fermanagh, unlucky maybe not to have gone up from three, but, you know, again, not taking anything lightly, but that's a difficult excitement to make a case for Down staying with Donegal in this one.
Again, based on everything you know and everything we've seen, Donegal again are going to go in as hot favourites. But you look at that game, and I was watching most of it yesterday evening, and you know that 15 minutes before half time, I think Down went 10-5 up and totally dominated them. And Keir referenced it earlier on, could have had two or three goals in that, where they just cut through the Fermanagh defence, and the whole game changed then in the second half, where Fermanagh just took over midfield. And again, it goes back to the kickouts. So it does, you know, about penning other teams in. If they can't get their kickouts away, they're really struggling, and teams are just coming at them in droves. So they are, and you know, Down looked totally out of the game. So they did, with 5 minutes to go, with 3 minutes to go, they looked gone, and they just came with this surge and were able to get a result. Now, the one thing about Down, they've such a rich history. They can really turn it on any given day. We spoke during the show about them coming up here and putting it up to Armagh last year, so we know that they're going to come with their A game. But Donegal, you would feel, would have too much quality all over the field and been also on the bench to be able to change that kind of thing. But you just have to take each game as it comes, Brendan. And Ulster is a minefield. It's no easy game in Ulster, and you win that, you're into the fire line again kind of thing. So listen, they'll prepare, they'll relax after that game today, as Jim says. They'll recover during the week, they'll look at a sort of game plan for next weekend and take it from there. It is a very it's a very short turnaround for Ulster Championship, because that was an energy sapping mentally and physically game today. So it was, you know, for Donegal. So they've a lot of, you know, they've a lot to get through this week, but you would have to feel they'd have enough to get over this Down team that were relegated, if, you know, from Division 2 to Division 3.
Yeah, it carries a warning there from last year's game with Armagh. Obviously in 22 Down got walloped by Armagh, 10 points last year, point in it, 13-2-6. Can Down pull out a performance like that this year, do you think? It's only last season that they came and that really strangled Armagh and kept themselves in the game and could have won the match. Is that still in them, or you think the way they're playing this year, they're going to be a bit, with the new rules, they're going to be a wee bit too open?
Well, the new rules have a massive impact on that. Like, Down came out with a very, very set game plan last year. They frustrated the life out of Armagh, slowed the game down, short kickouts, killed every wee bit of momentum that they could kill, and that option is not available to them this time.
Do you think it can be done to any level with the 11?
No.
Yeah.
No. Like, what I expect to see, like, I'm sitting here googling the weather for next Sunday, because if there's any sort of a breeze, what I expect the Donegal team to look like is a midfield of McGee and McFadden and Michael Langan and Kieran Thompson in the half forward line. And they will just pan down them. They're bigger than Down. They will just go after the kick out in a big, big way. Down, you know, didn't have any short option yesterday at all. It was all they had was to go long. And so Conor Laverty, Kieran Mina, Marty Clark were sitting here the day watching, like, and where they go about winning that. They're a goal scoring team, they'll see opportunity. They probably haven't had goals in the league they've deserved. They're a goal scoring team. That was their setup against Armagh last year, and they got the two goals and it almost carried them. But they will have viewed in the couple of games that Donegal have played that they're leaving gaps. Ryan McHugh filled a lot of the gaps today where he was playing. They didn't leave as many today. But there might be goals there, and that's what Down will look for. But it's just going to come down again to that sheer size of Donegal around the middle in comparison, and how Down, if any sort of wave of momentum comes on that kick out, and the next thing, Donegal have won 3, 4, 5 in a row, and they've scored off every one of them, and maybe scored a 2-pointer or two into that, like, and the next thing a 3-point game is an 11-point game.
Donegal and who in the final then?
I was amazed, somebody told me earlier, the bookies of Tyrone's favourites. I don't see any justification for that in terms of, like, Tyrone were not at that level against Cavan, where you're saying, geez, there's a team going to beat the All-Ireland champions, Armagh are down a lot of men. I expect to see a lot of those boys back in. That's a big, big game. You could have 25,000 here next Saturday evening. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a wee bit like last night when you have two of the better teams that are then sort of well matched. You hope what we get as a spectacle is really, really good. But still do think that Armagh haven't gone out too hard. They've done enough in Division 1. They didn't get relegated, so that was good. They've not gone out too hard, and it just feels that they're just building to something. I said from the start of Donegal Armagh Ulster final, and that's still good to see.
You think of the same. I know there's some tough behind the scenes for Armagh, and of course Rian O'Neill out as well. You know, we're not too sure exactly where Tyrone are at other, Brent. It's a real hard game to call. We'll not really know until we're in the cut and thrust of it in that game. It's going to tell us a lot about the two teams in terms of the big aspirations this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the winner of that game will be the crunch game, you would feel, for Donegal. You would feel they'll have enough next week, so they will, to get through it down. But it's really difficult to call because we don't know enough. Tyrone had a disappointing league campaign. Armagh, they've been there or thereabouts kind of thing in form wise. We haven't really seen them play their trump cards as of yet, so it's just too difficult to call. But it's a game that I'm really looking forward to, because they will knock seven lumps of it out of each other. So the would you expect?
You're hoping that they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just
a bit of old style kind of, you know. The game has got very cleansed, so it has. And
cleansed.
Yeah,
there we go. That was Brendan's word coming up on the car today. You can't hear cleansed. He reckons the tackling's cleansed. There was a decent few hits today. Monaghan, we're getting a piece of Donegal in the break.
I don't think if you asked Armagh, they thought it was very cleansed in Corrigan Park at all. I don't think they enjoyed the first half in Corrigan Park.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Yeah, listen, there's obviously a lot as we're getting through this, Gareth, in terms of what's been good, what's been bad in the rules, but I know you're very positive to them. We're almost out of time here, and I think I agree with you. You know, there's going to be bits in there today, a bit of controversy at the end of the game about whether Monaghan had the last play or not. The word is that if the ball's out when the hooter goes and it doesn't get back into play before the hooter's gone, then it is out, and that's it. I know Monaghan people were a bit not happy, they're a bit aggrieved that they didn't get a last opportunity, but as it was, Donegal have won the game here. They're in the Ulster semi-final against Down next week. I'm going to hand back the studio.